part of the Nautical Mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. WGBB, 1240 AM, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze. And it feels...
Now, I was listening, so don't talk over him today, okay, Palmer? Gladness,
and it puts our heart... at ease.
See how well behaved I am? I refuse to talk over his music. Al is my friend, Jesus, and I will never speak over his songs again.
I love
but
that
I can't thing. Stand this song.
If we take the time
Al, we love you, Al.
Ask him, he will guide
and he'll be at the Marion Conference tomorrow at Kellenberg High School. And he's going to sing his heart out.
Is there a Marion Conference?
Marion Conference tomorrow.
Where?
Kellenberg High School.
What time?
8 a.m. to 5:45.
Oh, where is Kellenberg High School?
Uniondale.
Uniondale.
Right across the street from the Nassau Coliseum.
Oh, gee, I can't wait to be there. I hope I see everybody who's listening
and
there.
Guess who else is going to be there?
Who?
Me. No autographs.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Hey, we have a very, very interesting... war game today.
Yes, and I'm so excited.
This is a war game. Tony, we're talking about the battle between the culture of death in our society and the culture of life.
And we have two people that are in the trenches.
You got it.
Trenches fighting that battle for Jesus. And it's an honor to have them.
Lorraine and Frank Garibaldi. And from the Life Center. So you know where they're playing from. They're coming from strength because they have the life of Jesus leading them. They have the power of the Holy Spirit guiding them and the wisdom of God the Father instructing them on just what to say at just those critical moments in people's lives when they're about to lose the battle for life. And then those who have lost the battle for life, they come along and through Project Rachel and their Rachel weekends, show people how to come back out of darkness into life. Lorraine and Frank, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about Life Center and about your work.
The Life Center of Long Island is a pregnancy care center. We began 25 years ago. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary banquet. And we began as a small group of men and women praying outside an abortion clinic. And we recognized the fact that we needed a place to bring these women so that we could give them the information they needed to make an informed decision. Someone gave us our first month's rent, and we opened a center in Deer Park down the street from a very busy abortion clinic. That was 25 years ago. Today we have three centers, one in Deer Park, one in Massapequa, and one in Hempstead. We have over 100 volunteers, we have 20 staff, and we see and help over 300 women a month.
Wow. 25 years.
Yes.
I wonder how many children have been lost over those 25 years.
Well, we do know that since Roe v. Wade, we've lost over 50 million babies to abortion in this country alone. Here on Long Island, we average between 10 and 12,000 babies every year to abortion.
15 million. What's the size of our population in the country? 200 and some odd million?
300 million.
So we've lost 10% of our population.
Yeah.
And just think of all the income that could have come into our government and to our programs and into our lives, all the tax money. And on top of that, Think of all the productivity that we've lost. And think of all the ingenuity that we lost.
Think of all those taxpayers that we don't have now.
That's
and
right.
The economic situation
yeah,
we are
right.
in
But think
today.
Of what these children could have and would have become had they given the opportunity to live
yes.
and their contribution to society.
You know, it's very interesting that you said that, Tony, because we just lost a Steve Jobs
mm-hmm.
who was adopted. When I think about that, that mother did not abort that child. She put him up for adoption, and here he becomes this great, whatever, you know, this
Absolutely.
Inventor, this person
Absolutely.
Who changed the whole world.
Yeah.
And so abortion
we don't know
is just
what's
a,
his,
right,
what,
we don't
what,
know.
What the Lord has planned for
right.
them.
Right, exactly.
He
exactly.
also has picked my pocket so many times because I go and buy his equipment.
Oh, I thought you were looking at me when you said that.
No, I'm talking about Steve Jobs and Apple. Boy,
right,
I
right.
didn't know he was adopted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't
yes.
that important?
Well,
very,
oh. very
important.
And
important.
Isn't it strange that the press, when he passed away, did not make much mention of that.
No, but didn't
wow.
he give back? Didn't he give so much back,
Yes,
too?
He did. He was a philanthropist.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Lorraine, you were talking before the show, and as we were getting ready and getting to know each other, about the process that people go through in terms of connecting to the culture of death in their lives and where that seems to... Can you give us a little bit of that now?
Well, we were speaking about our program, Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, which is a healing program for men and women who have had an abortion experience, and the fact that when I counsel a woman who's had an abortion, I speak about the three parts of the healing process, one being the spiritual piece, being the easiest part because of who God is. God died on the cross for all of our sin, the sin of abortion included. And all he asks of us is that we come to him repentant and sorry, and he wipes away that sin. But for most women, the psychological piece, why they made that choice, is the troublesome piece. They have difficulty forgiving themselves. And when we do a weekend on Saturday mornings, we ask them to share their stories. Not the stories about the gruesome abortion, but what kind of home life did they have growing up, and where was their support system when they found themselves faced with an unplanned pregnancy and the choice to have the birth their child or have an abortion. And so we hear many stories about they grew up in an alcoholic, abusive family, or drug abuse, or sexual abuse. And these things have left them deeply wounded emotionally. So when faced with a crisis pregnancy, and I say every pregnancy is a crisis because from the moment a woman is pregnant, her life has changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she births that child or has an abortion, her life has changed forever. But when she understands that she has grown up with this abuse, when faced with a crisis pregnancy, because of that emotional trauma, she is unable to make a healthy choice. The reason that that point is so important is because most women never connect the fact that they made the choice to have an abortion, but were deeply wounded many years before that she even was sexually active. And so they continue to beat themselves up. But when we connect the dots, so to speak, so she can understand that, you know, she had a tough life. Divorce, abortion, alcoholism, sexual abuse, and because of that woundedness, is unable to make a healthy choice. It helps her to stop beating herself up.
So are you saying that invariably when the women do have abortions, they have after effects psychologically?
Incredible.
And,
mm-hmm.
and that's almost invariably?
All the time.
I've never been to a retreat where that has not occurred, where a woman talks about her past And we started to do this almost at the beginning, 8 years ago, when we started to put these together for here on Long Island. When we started to ask them what happened as you were growing up, it was I couldn't believe what was happening. Mm-hmm. Either no father, or a father who was abusive, or being sexually abused, that she hated to go. I remember in my head, I hated to go do the laundry because my grandfather would follow me. You know, stories like that, they just tear your heart out. And how can they grow up to be the woman that they're created to be if somebody's abusing them physically, mentally, what's going on in their lives? It's a terrible, terrible thing. And we find this all the time. And you know, God puts these people together. We've had retreats where women have come, and none of them had fathers growing up because they were either weren't there, or they left them, or now the next weekend we get together and everybody was sexually abused. And it's just interesting the way the Lord puts people together so that they have the same experiences, and they can talk to each other, and they realize they're not alone. They're in this thing together.
You know, Frank, there's something that's going through my mind, Frank, and it's so wonderful that you're involved. Because that culture of death is for the man as well.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And it's so important to be pointed out. When a child is lost, not only is the woman's life changed, but so is the man's life. And I don't know if you see that.
I notice it a lot. In fact, there's been more and more talk today about where is the man? What's happening to the men in our society? They're losing, you know, we're supposed to provide and protect. You know, we know for a fact that if a man was there by his woman and said, yes, we had sexual activity, something happened, we're going to have a baby, I'm going to stand by you, the abortion amount would just decrease more and more.
One thing always bothers me. Why doesn't the state, the local state and federal government, take an active role in setting up adoption agencies? Isn't there a better choice for these women that are pregnant and that are troubled by it? A better choice is putting them up for the babies up for adoption?
For many reasons, adoption is seen as a woman who places her baby up for adoption is seen as a bad mother. And I've, in 25 years of counseling women, contemplating an abortion, I've said to them, won't you please consider adoption? And their answer is, oh, I could never do that, as if that would make me a bad mother. Perhaps my child would be abused by the parents that they've been adopted by. So I can't understand the reasoning where they think killing the baby in the womb is a better option.
Than adoption.
I would like to look at that process of returning to life after having been captured by the culture of death. I have a song that Palmer Pascal sings, and it's, "Oh God, I Made a Mistake." And in that song, she talks from her perspective, and then God tells her how to come back to life. And it's you know, give them one more chance. Listen to this. Listeners, listen.
Oh God, I made a mistake. How many more times is it go on, and I'm not sure I care. Oh God, I've been here before, but I stand knocking. But I thought that I heard to me a hopeful word. Get up one more time. Take my hand, you said. Don't look back this time. Look at me.
Trenches, you guys are in the trenches. And Lorraine, I see that you've been touched by that song. And that kind of draws the line. How do we come back to life after accepting the culture of death?
We should never accept the culture of death.
That's right.
We should do everything humanly possible to change it.
That's right.
When I was speaking about the healing process, I didn't mention the reconciliation with the baby. No woman ever walks into an abortion clinic wanting an abortion. She's suppressed her feelings. She's trying to satisfy someone else. She suppresses her own needs. Her parents don't want it. Her boyfriend doesn't want it. Her baby doesn't want it. And in order for her to satisfy someone else's needs, she very often has the baby. And she walks in saying, "This is not a baby." No one walks in saying, "I'm going to kill my baby." They walk in saying, "This is just a product of conception, a blob of cells." And so when she goes through the healing process, the problem is this reconciliation, because she has to give back to the baby that has been aborted its dignity and its humanity. So on a weekend, we encourage them to think about the baby or children that have been aborted. How old would they be? Had they been born, what would she have named them? And so she can create in her mind an image of that child that is now in heaven with God. Because we know at the moment of conception, a new human being is created with a body and a soul. Whether that human being lives 8 weeks or 80 years, once it dies, it knows life eternally, not here in the physical world, but in the spiritual world with God. And she needs to acknowledge that she has a child in heaven, and hopefully someday she will meet that child.
That song, when it came to mind, and I choose my music in prayer, it just to me captured the daily battle that a person has between life and death, and how the wave of grief comes over each person, and then they have to turn to God for the life and for the light. I don't know if that's real in terms of what you guys experience in your trenches.
Going back to God, it's by the time a woman comes to us looking for some kind of healing, she has already reconciled with God. Mm-hmm. And a priest would tell you, by the time a woman comes to him for reconciliation, she's already paid her penance. She's already beat herself up for making that choice.
But we don't emphasize God's love.
That's right.
And God's healing love and God's forgiveness. It's just so important.
That brings me to my question, Dr. Palmer. That was a good lead-in. Is there counseling available to those that are contemplating abortion? Is it offered anywhere?
That's
by
what
anyone?
We do with the Life Center.
That's what we do with the Life Center.
Because those
you're not after the fact. You're before
both.
The fact?
We're
or
before,
you're both?
Both. What happened was we saw a need. As a pregnancy care center, many women come to us for a pregnancy test, and they're making the choice whether or not, if they're pregnant, to carry this baby to term. So we're there in Deer Park, Massapequa, and Hempstead, helping women who come through our door who are pregnant. What are their needs? We give them the information about fetal development, abortion risks, and all of the support services that are available to them if they carry their baby to term. We change hearts all the time. Women who are pregnant, contemplating an abortion, are just looking for someone to say, you can do this. We will be there with you. We'll get you the help you need.
So there's a place for those that are contemplating abortion to turn to. And
absolutely.
That's you guys. That's Deacon Frank and Lorraine.
You know, one of the most important things, one of the most important words that I hear, and we hear it quite often, after a counselor comes out of a room with a woman who's contemplating an abortion, they come up to us and say, I just saved a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even speak when I say those words or when I hear those words, because it's the most important words of the Life Center.
But I have to say this. We at the Life Center, the counselors, volunteers, this is God's work, okay? Mm-hmm. Before we walk in that room, knowing that woman is thinking about an abortion, we say the prayer, God, put the words in my mouth that she needs to hear. And he does. But we're just his instrument. It's not like we come out of a room and say, pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, we saved a baby. It's not about that. Because if it was about that, then the woman who says, I heard what you had to say, and I'm going to have an abortion anyway, and walks out our door, then we'd say, oh my God, what did I not say? What should I have said to change her heart? The reality is, our work is this. We are instruments of God. We ask God to use us to reach that woman, to plant those seeds. But if we don't, we walk out of that room and we say, God, thank you for using me as your instrument to touch this woman.
And you know, there's such an important piece that never gets told, because I see this in practice, post-abortion syndrome. And people just don't hear that as they figure they're going to have the abortion and it's all gone. I don't know if you see that.
The American Psychological Society has said there is no such thing as post-abortion syndrome. So we don't try not to talk about that anymore. It's easier and more acceptable to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. This they recognize, and most people know what it is. But the reality is, pregnancy is a traumatic event in a woman's life, as I said earlier. Abortion is another traumatic event. And so if they're dealing with this traumatic event in a negative way, having an abortion, then they go through this post-traumatic stress, and the symptoms are anger, depression, suicidal ideation, sleep disorders.
Promiscuity.
Promiscuity. More drug abuse, more alcohol abuse, never connecting, I had an abortion, and now I'm acting out in this way.
Yeah.
So the mind thought, some people that get asked to have abortions, is that they'll have the abortion and it's over with. But it's not.
No, it isn't.
It's not. There are aftermaths to be faced.
For years.
Initially, immediately, there is a sense of relief. Whatever their reason or reasons for having the abortion, okay, so I don't have to do that. But I can, I don't have the baby, and I don't have to tell my parents. My husband's not going to leave me. I counseled a woman a few years ago who said, married, two beautiful boys, and now she was pregnant again. She had a great job teaching, and her husband had a good job. But she became pregnant. He said to her, wait a minute. We agreed when we got married that we'd have two children, and now you're pregnant again. And if you don't have this abortion, I'm out of here. Now here's this woman with two little boys, not even in school yet, and her husband is telling her, I'm going to leave you and leave my children fatherless if you don't have this abortion. She went and she had that abortion to satisfy her husband, but she knows in her heart, she has two sons, it was the only child, only girl she ever conceived, she aborted. Can you just imagine what that did to their marital relationship?
Yes.
This is what basically what I was talking about before, where the man does not stand up to become the provider and protector that he's asked to be. It's who we are internally. It's all part of us. And we've lost that particular part of our lives. Somewhere along the line, the American male, or most males, have just left that alone. We've gotten away from it. And some of the men's groups that are occurring here in our diocese, I think, are wonderful, bringing men back little by little to let them know who they are and what they are and what we're supposed to do as men. And I think this is very exciting.
And Tony, in your work for today, you uncovered a saint. That's very important. Trevor, we're going to have a little music, but maybe you can tell us about the saint. I never even knew the saint.
The saint's name is Gianna Beretta Mala. And I'll tell you, she relates, before I get into about her, she relates very clearly to tomorrow's gospel reading. When in the reading, if you notice that in Paul's attitude in the second reading, the scribes and the Pharisees were centered mostly on themselves, and that Jesus speaks of them and focuses and mentions that they focus entirely on themselves, their well-being, their predecessors of Moses, but they didn't follow Moses' example. They were concerned with being given credit for things, and they were concerned when they go into the temple to sit up front and to be nicely dressed. Yet, they did nothing to think about others. And so, Gianna was concerned not about herself. She was concerned about her pregnancy. She was concerned about her fetus. She was concerned about her baby. She has a very interesting story. She's actually a modern saint. And she was born in 1922, and she died in 1962. And she was a medical doctor. She was a college professor. She's the patron saint of mothers, patron saint of physicians because she was an MD, and she was the patron saint of preborn children. And as she grew up, she was always concerned about others, and she was very faithful. But she was a normal child. And so you know what? That makes me feel that we're all capable of becoming saints. I don't know about you, Palmer, but I want to be a saint when I get older.
I certainly hope you change.
Well, anyway, she was concerned about helping others. She was concerned about her faith with God. And she opened up, when she became a medical doctor, she opened up clinics. Clinics were for the elderly, for children, for pregnant mothers. And she met Pietro Mala and fell in love, and she was very radiant with love and joy, and she had several children. And then came the time she got pregnant again. And in that pregnancy, they found she was only 2 months pregnant, and they found that she had a problem, and that the only way that it could be solved and saved was abortion. And she said, absolutely no. She was a medical doctor, and she knew that the problem that they uncovered was detrimental to her life. And so she gave strict instructions to the doctors, to her husband, to everyone, that if it comes time to choose between my life and my baby's life, you must choose to have my baby live and not myself. This is what I want. And it just so happened that it came to pass, and that a decision had to be made. And so they abided by her decision, that she wanted to give up her life to save her baby. And so she did, and she subsequently passed away, but the baby was born, and the baby was healthy, and the baby survived. And as a matter of fact, I heard, I listened on the internet to her son talk about her. And he barely knew her because he was so young when she passed away. And but he was very, very, very clear that his mom made the decision that her children were very important, and that's what God had wanted.
And you know, Lorraine, when you came here today, thank you, Tony, that was beautiful. When you came, you know this saint. How? Mm-hmm. How?
I was aware of the story. It's a beautiful story. There is something called the Gianna Center.
Yes.
It began with Dr. Ann Milnick, and it was in St. Vincent's Hospital in New York City. And predominantly, it was for reproductive health for women, but totally pro-life, because there are programs out there. Years ago, we called them natural family planning. It has grown to be so much more than that, because we know so much more today about the reproductive system. But for women who have problems with infertility, they would go to Gianna Center. Infertility, and this is a whole other show we could do, is a symptom of another problem. What happens today is women walk into a fertility clinic, and right away they think, in vitro fertilization, which costs thousands of dollars and exposes a woman to mega doses of hormones. And but the Gianna Center, through their reproductive techniques, in a natural way, can help a woman identify what the problem is and how to become pregnant. And the success rate for in vitro fertilization is only 20%. The success rate for something like natural family planning, the Creighton model, NAPRO technology is closer to 60%.
Wow.
So I always say that if women knew, now infertility is a large problem all over the country. About 20% of our women who are in their reproductive years have problems conceiving. If they only knew what the church has to offer. The church talks about natural family planning. It's no longer the old rhythm method. It's so much more than that and so much more effective that they shouldn't be going to these infertility clinics. They should be going to a doctor like Dr. Scanlon in Huntington or the Gianna Center, who has just moved to New Jersey, and begin the medical attention that they need to identify the reason for their infertility and how that can be corrected and how they can become pregnant.
That's very interesting. By the way, Dr. Palmer, not that you interrupted me, but I did have one more sentence to say about Gianna.
I never interrupt.
She actually, Gianna died on...
Tony?
Yes. Gianna died on April 28th, but the point is that she died amid unspeakable pain and suffering, but the most touching thing was that as she was dying, she died with the words on her lips, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you." Mm. And she died with the thought of Jesus, and she died with Jesus on her mind. And I suspect that Jesus was by her side.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. I really do.
And you know, the first step in fighting out and getting rid of that culture of death is to listen to the fact that Jesus loves us. And believe it or not, I got Palmer Pascal coming back for another song.
Wow, can you're
you
unbelievable, Palmer.
And Palmer just says, hey, you want to win the battle and come back to life? Know that I love you. Know that I love you. Listen to these words, Lord. We ask.
Jesus is the way.
Open the ears of listeners who don't know what to do.
Long time ago, on the ocean sand, a letter was found by a lonely man. He was bewildered, but his heart just soared when he realized the message was from Christ the Lord. It began, "Dear child of mine, please go tell all of mankind. Tell them how much I love them. Tell them now I'm always near. Tell them how much I love them. If you were the only one, I would have sent my son to live and die for you." There were lost, lonely souls just like me and you. They looked to heaven for a perfect sign, and they realized the message was the same through time. It's a love letter he sends. It begins and never ends. Sent my song to live and die for you.
I would have sent my son to live and die for you.
If you notice, this is a show about abortion, about culture of death, without one accusatory word. There's only the emphasis on God's love. And I noticed you guys were writing. And what are you? What were you plotting? I saw you plotting there.
I drew a heart and put a cross. No, I'm just kidding. You know, Lorraine just put something down, and it came to me that one thing that, as a deacon, everybody sometimes we're looking for ideas, what to talk about. And I believe abortion should be talked about more on the altar. And some of our priests do not do that. And one of the things that I learned to do, when I first started as a deacon, I was like I would be scolding. I'm waving my finger now. You can't see me. But that's what I did as a deacon when I gave a sermon
about abortion.
And then when I started to do Rachel's Vineyard, I realized that that's not what this is all about. This is all about healing. It's all about this song that we just heard.
That's right.
And if we as deacons or we as priests could talk about the love that Christ has for the people out there, I don't know if you know this, that one in every five people in the pews has been affected by abortion in one way or another. Maybe they haven't been a victim, but they have a cousin, they have an uncle, they have somebody who's had abortion. If we could explain to them that they should come out of the closet, okay, because they're in a closet, they're hiding, to come out, because what's out there for them is the love of Christ.
That's right.
And the love of Christ can heal. And that's really what we were writing about, the love of Christ, the healing that's out there for them. And it's so important to convey that message.
I want to see your notes. I mean, I'm going to teach you. I saw the heart. I saw it.
I wrote, Teresa Bonapartis is a woman who speaks publicly about her abortion experience. And she said to us, as a woman who's had an abortion, it's okay for them to speak about abortion on the altar as long as they talk about God's mercy and forgiveness.
Absolutely.
So the sad part is, I know that many priests feel that there are women in the pews who have had an abortion, and he doesn't want to hurt them by speaking about it. But if he talks about God's mercy and tells them there is help for you, there are programs like Rachel's Vineyard, or if you faced with an unplanned pregnancy, go to the life centers and get the help you need, then the church can speak up without being thinking that people
judgmental,
are
without judgmental. Being judgmental.
That's it. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah. Right.
What
did
Jesus say to the woman who was to be stoned?
Caught in the act of adultery.
Yeah.
Is there anyone here to condemn you? No, sir.
And neither do I condemn you.
Then go
and that's
sin
where Jesus,
no more.
Right. And that's where Jesus is all the time. We do that as part of our ministry for Rachel's Vineyard. It's one of our living scriptures that we do. And the first message that he hears is when Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It makes the women there like open up their eyes and say, oh my goodness, I am forgiven. I can be forgiven.
Yes.
Not only does Jesus forgive me, but I can forgive myself. It's the beginning process of their healing when they come to Rachel's Vineyard.
And they're welcome back in the church with open arms.
With open arms.
So there's no need for them to stay away.
Exactly.
You know how many men and women leave the Catholic Church because they understand, they believe the position of the church on abortion. After a woman goes through the Rachel Vineyard weekend and understands God's forgiveness, so often they come back to the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. Wow.
We're going to start our healing section of our show with a prayer for every person who's listening, who's caught in the culture of death, no matter what it may be. We want this prayer to be heard. Trev?
I pray you'll be all right and watch us where we go, and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Live us to a place. Guide us with your grace to a place where we'll be safe.
La luce che tu dai,
I pray we'll find your light.
Nel cuore resterà. Ricordarci che
when stars go out each night,
l'eterna stella sei. Nella mia preghiera,
let this be our prayer.
Quanta fede c'è.
Faith so we'll be safe.
Sogniamo un mondo senza più violenza, un mondo di giustizia e di speranza.
In that prayerful mode. Let's stay in that prayerful mode. God is love. And I put on the Magnificat by Denny Bouchard just in the background to bring Mary into this. A woman of love, woman who said yes. Anyone caught in darkness, we pray now that the light of the love of the God of mercy enter your heart, touch you, fill you in ways that will surprise you. Lord, we know you are a God of life. We know you are victory. We know you are true love. We know that you are the only love that always is. And in these few moments in prayer, in our battle on this show, from death to life, we ask you, infuse your grace into whatever prayers we say now, so that they may touch the heart of even just one person who is in complete control of darkness. Shine your light, Lord, into the hearts of those who feel totally, totally unforgiven. Shine your grace, Lord, into the hearts of those who feel that they've done the unforgivable. Help them, Lord, to know that in you forgiveness lives. And if they would just reach out and open their heart to your love, the process of victory will begin. Oh Lord, we pray that this battle against the culture of death be ended by the power of your love. You are God. We know we have free wills, and we ask you, Lord, get into the minds of every person who's caught in the culture of death, pornography, whatever it may be, Lord, and just simply change the way they think. Help them, whoever they may be, who is heading down the wrong path, to put on your mind and to allow your love and your grace to touch them. Mary, Mary, we pray to you, Mary, especially for these women who are really caught in the lies of evil. Help them to see truth. If they've had an abortion, help them to seek God's mercy and love. If they're contemplating abortion, help them to seek the wisdom of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, that they don't go down that road. We love you, Lord, and we know you love them. Anyone out there who feels lost and abandoned, you may be lost and abandoned by those of us who are human, but you will never, ever be lost and abandoned by God's love. It's there just for the taking. Turn around. Turn around. Open your arms and see his sacred heart beckoning to you and saying, come, my child, let me love you. Come, my child, let me love you to life. Come, my child, I love you. I love you. Don't buy the negative despair. Come into my hope and my mercy and my love. I know I spoke a lot, but if you people have any prayers you want to offer, we offer for Liz always, and as a woman who has Chiari disease, but we offer our prayer today for every person, man and woman, who somehow or other has become a victim of the culture of death.
Everyone on our petition list that we offered up to you, Jesus, and we ask that you lift them up, you heal them, you cure them. Those that are depressed, you cure their depression. Those that are ill, you cure their illness, and you give them comfort. And we ask this in the name of your Father, our Creator. Amen.
Every woman who is facing an unplanned pregnancy, come to the Life Center of Long Island. Look us up on the website, our website, LifeCenterLI.org. See the help that you can get. And if you've had an abortion, there's help for you too. God's just waiting for you to come back to him. And call, look up Rachel'sVineyard.org on the website and see where you can find the healing that God wants to give you.
All right. Trevor, we're going to move into the closing song. I don't know if you can do that, because the bottom line is our God reigns. Our God reigns. Don't forget A Day with Mary tomorrow.
Kellenberg High School, 8 to 5:45.
Victory is ours. We brought you good news. see you next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for inviting us.